My name's Chris Kirk, and this is TW Talks, the interviews podcast from 3 Weeks Edinburgh. I'm sitting in the Assembly Club bar. We're at the heart of the Edinburgh Fringe. It's happening all around us, and we're talking to some of our favourite Fringe performers who have shows at this year's festival. Today, Noah Seltzer, whose show Here Comes Almost is on at Zoo Playground. Let's get TW Talking to Noah. So I am still here in the Assembly Club bar, George Square, at the centre of the Edinburgh Festival, and my next guest has joined me. Noah Seltzer is here. Thank you for coming along.
Thank you for having me.
We are, as we record this, officially at the end of the first week of the festival, although we have a few previews at the start. So basically we're 10 days in. How are we feeling? We have that sort of lull in the first week after the big launch. Are we feeling good?
Yeah. I feel a lot of different things. My body feels tired and a bit sore. My show is really physical, and I knew it was physical, but I've never done it for, I guess, 10 days straight. So I'm starting to feel that. And
that's a good point, because obviously one of the excitements of performing at this festival is that you get to do those 30 days in a row, and that's often not available to you. But it's never really occurred to me before. Everyone always talks about keeping their voice in check, but yeah. You've got a very physical show. It's a bit like, you know, doing a game of football every night.
It's
the physical side as well.
I feel like an athlete.
Yeah,
which is cool because I like being physical. I like this type of performance. But yeah, and especially because I don't know if you've, I mean, whoever's listening, it's gotten pretty hot in Edinburgh, and there's no AC, and my room especially gets really hot.
Yeah,
especially because it's, you know, there are shows all day, and then the lights are, and this isn't a normal theater I'm in, so.
Yeah, no, that's a classic thing. So here in Edinburgh, I mean, anyone listening in sort of London and the south of England, actually here, it's much more pleasant than it is in other parts of the UK, except in the venues, the venues run from 10 a.m. till, you know, past midnight, people in and out all day, the lights, as you say, most of the venues here in Edinburgh, even when it's cold outside, the venues start to get hot. So we have, for the last few days, it has been feeling, well, there is an actual sauna running as a venue this year. I don't know if you've come across
I've heard of this, yeah.
So at Summerhall, there's an actual sauna running as a venue, but here at the Fringe, sometimes it feels like most of the venues are basically saunas. And if you are, doing a lot of physical stuff on stage,
It must
really feel that. Well, we're going to talk about this year's show, but past, present, future. Before we get to that, let's go through your journey. Mm-hmm. So talk me through, you know, your career in clowning and comedy as a performer.
Yeah.
If you had to pick a moment where the journey began, is there something that you did, something you experienced where you think, yeah, that's what set you on this journey?
Yeah, sure. I could think of two moments. The first one was when I discovered clown, which was about 4.5 years ago, when I first moved to New York City and ended up in a clown workshop, just kind of on a whim, was involved with this form of dance called contact improv, and had done a little bit of improv comedy, but so had heard about clown and was curious what it was. And there was a workshop that I got in off the wait list, like the morning of, someone got COVID. It was during that time. And I did it, and it was like deeply transformative. And
was it, because it's interesting with clowning, that term, here at the Fringe, I think everyone understands what it means, but some people have a very specific opinion of, so maybe we associate with kids' parties, or here in the UK, maybe with circus, but it's much bigger than that. And so prior to that moment, was it something you'd experienced as an audience member, or was it really, it was a bit of a discovery that, oh, there's this whole side of performance that really excites me?
Both. I actually first heard about clown when I was at the Fringe maybe 7 or 8 years ago when I was in uni. And went to a few shows and was like, this is strange. And there was one show there were two shows I liked. One was sort of a mime show. The other one was a clown show. But I was like, oh, this is cool. But I never was like, oh, this is what I want to do. It was really once I started doing it, I was like, whoa, there's something really deep. And it's like, I love it because it's comedy, but at the same time, there's something like really, it's not like you're just standing up there telling jokes. It's like you're using your whole body and the whole expression. And it's like all about being in your full range of your humanness. And that's really fun for me as a performer.
So when you were doing the workshops, what does that involve? How do they teach this art form?
Yeah. Well, my first teacher was Christopher Bays, and he does a summer workshop every summer, but normally he teaches clown at the Yale School of Drama. And so he teaches for actors. And it's like a lot of the times in actor training programs, they have clown.
And so that's not because they're necessarily going to do clown performances, but it just makes you a better actor.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Because it's all about being open and vulnerable. And that one was really difficult for me, but the exercises were pretty simple. It was like the morning we would do this thing where we would sing a song, part of a chorus, and then you do a solo just on really simple themes like I Love It or My Secret would be the theme, or like Yay For Me. And these really like simple, innocent themes that actually made you be really vulnerable and like share intimate details of your life that you didn't want to share. And which is sort of the thing, it was like you realize that by being more honest, more vulnerable, people would laugh more. And a lot of the times it was the content that you're sharing, but also your reaction to it, like how you expressed it was also hilarious. So that was a big part that still terrifies me to this day, because I always would say things I didn't want to say. And then the afternoon we would do exercises like you come out and you've just seen the funniest thing in the world and you just can't stop laughing. And you'd have to do that. You just would go up on stage and just laugh in front of 25 people. And that was also really hard because it's hard to laugh on cue and it's hard to laugh like in front of an audience for real. Other times it was like, you just saw the most beautiful thing in the world and you can't even say it's so beautiful because it's so beautiful. So you come on stage and you're trying to express it to the audience.
So almost they're picking an emotion and then you're basically displaying it, performing it.
Yeah. So that was Christopher Bay's, which was, a lot around like being more emotionally available and like vulnerable on stage. I've also studied with Aitor Passeri, part of Spy Monkey.
Yeah.
His is more geared towards clowns for clown performance instead of actors. And the exercise would be also so simple. They would be like, you would have a costume and you do a fashion show. And then you would just pose and look at the audience. And for some reason, it was hilarious. But it's like, a lot of the humor in clown comes from just like, well, two things. One, like, really showing yourself. And like, you're kind of, I don't know, something like, there's just something funny when you like are really showing yourself and your own stupidity, basically. Another thing I think is timing is a lot of the time. And I do that a lot in my show, is like the comedic timing. It's like, I feel like sometimes I'm a musician, like a jazz musician, where you have to be so like on the beat of everything to get the laugh.
I guess a jazz analogy, that's interesting, isn't it? Because I may be completely wrong because it's not an art form I know, but I sort of feel maybe there is a set of rules, and then as a performer, you spend most of your time ignoring the rules.
Yeah. No, I like that. And I like this analogy too, because I feel like I will have a structure or script, but it's more like it feels sometimes more like a jazz piece where it's like, oh, I have this structure, theme, but then I improvise.
Yeah.
And then I come back to it and then I improvise.
Yeah. You said there was two things that start your journey. Have we covered both of them, or is there a second thing?
Yeah, there is a second thing. Yeah, I can share it. It was actually kind of a spiritual like experience that I had. Basically, I met someone. It was like a really deep connection. We were at this like music and dance festival, and on the last night we did MDMA together, and we were like around a campfire. There were like 80 people there just like sharing songs, and the MDMA started to come up, and then I just dropped into this trance state, which had never happened before on anything, where I basically was not in control of my body, and like basically stood up and started, I guess, channeling this like song/clown act. And it was like deeply funny and also like really intense and crazy. And that like really shifted my brain a lot. It was a very...
It's almost like there was something deep in there ready, and suddenly it was released.
Yeah, it was like I saw sort of what was possible as a performer, as like an artist. I was like, wow, there's something I need to really get to the bottom of here.
So you did the workshop, you did the training.
Yeah.
I guess at what point were you like, this is what I'm going to do. This is going to be my career.
I think after that experience... that year, and that person I had met, he was is a dancer, and kind of, I don't know, helped me kind of like own my own artistic desires. And that year I just started making more stuff, and actually was working at a preschool, which is wonderful clown training. Kids are just like clowns without even trying to be. So I learned so much from them and being with them. And yeah, at a certain point, actually, towards the end of that year, the school I was working at, they were like, okay, we really like you. We want you to go. It was a Montessori school, if you're familiar. And they were like, we want you to get trained. We want you to go to the Montessori Training Center. It was like a, I don't know, a year or 2 year program. And that's when I really was like, is this what I like want to do? And decided that, no, I actually really want to pursue theater.
And in terms of your sort of moving into creating your own shows,
yeah.
I guess in comedy, sort of stand-up comedy, you begin by doing the sort of short sets and then you grow. And I guess in sketch comedy, similar thing, you start off with quite short, punchy stuff and then it grows. I mean, is it the same that you begin with a 5-minute piece, a 10-minute piece before you then start to think, actually, I can do a whole show here?
Yeah, actually, at least for this process, it was like, I'd say for the past 2 years, I'd been doing, 2 or 3 years, been doing different acts, numbers at variety shows, cabarets, open mics sometimes. And those were usually, yeah, like 5 to 10 minute pieces. And yeah, it got to a certain point where I was like, okay, I want to like build something more than just this act that I do in this one place.
If you were, we'll get on to the actual show in a moment, but I guess if you were describing your performance to somebody who they know stand-up comedy, they know sketch comedy, but they don't really understand clown, they've not seen shows like that, how would you describe what you're going to experience on stage?
Yeah, I would say it's physical comedy. I think that's sometimes clearer.
Yep.
It's physical comedy and it's character comedy. Because I think clown, you could call it a character, you know?
Yeah, for definite.
And the nose, you know, a lot of people, most people don't wear the nose these days. It's not popular, at least at the fringe. But yeah, it has a mask like a character. So, but it's a very specific type of character. So yeah, I would say it's physical comedy, character comedy, and just a kind of wild, absurd nightmare slash dream slash like whatever.
If we talk about the show, Here Comes Almost. So tell us the story of the show. At what point did you decide I'm going to construct this hour, and where did the ideas come from for the piece?
I decided, I think like around this time last year, because I was like, I had friends going to the Fringe and I had this intention for some time of like making a full-length piece, and was like, I want to make something for next year. And yeah, had been doing different acts and they ranged, but like when I was doing clown, a lot of them centered around aloneness, themes of like love, almost themes of like trying to really be connected with the audience. And this, I guess, clown slash character started to like become really clear to me, where they like wanted to help people in some way. And like there's this one act that I did last fall where it's like I have like these heart hands and I'm like trying to send love to people, and I'm trying really hard to do it to like get them to feel love. And I found it really fun and like kind of an idea that also felt close to my own like sensibility and who I am. And it was really funny because it was like this character who was so sincere, really trying to like send love to the audience. And I think from that's when I got around this theme of loneliness, and that's what this show kind of centers around, this character who's like really trying to help people feel less alone. That,
so it almost began with the character and then sort of the theme grew from there.
I would like rent rehearsal space and then kind of just get into different costumes and just play around and see like what happened, basically.
So the official blurb for the show begins by, you know, identifying the loneliness epidemic, which is increasingly being something that I think a few years ago was just not talked about. Mm-hmm. It is being more talked about, more written about, etc. So how are the sort of show that you're making, how do you take it as actually quite a serious theme like that, and then sort of turn it into a character comedy clown show?
So the premise is, along with that, like that the World Health Organization labeled loneliness a global health threat in 2023. So yeah, the premise is that they've sent me a clown to go around the world and solve it, which to me is kind of funny. but also perfect.
Yeah.
Because I think two things. I think one, just like the sincerity of it is really funny to me. And like the way that this character I'm calling Almost, which actually was sort of my original clown name my clown teacher gave me, so I thought I'd stick with it. And how they, like this absurd way of like trying to cure loneliness. For instance, I don't want to give away too much, but it's like one of the things is like try to make everyone feel seen in the audience. And what do you do if you try to make someone feel seen? And so all these ridiculous games that come about. But then at the same time, I think what I really like about clown is that there is this, like, there can be this beauty and this, like, tenderness to a show, especially with an hour. You have, like, a long arc. You can have moments of yeah, something more real, something less.
Yeah, and I guess because obviously here at The Fringe where we have these one-hour shows, and I think that's where actually you do, I know a lot of stand-up comedians, generally speaking, the audience cannot laugh solidly for an hour. So there have to be some moments where you're slightly more, you know, you're telling a story, whatever. And a lot of stand-up comedians struggle with that. Whereas I think clown really lends itself to that.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to, it's funny, but it doesn't have to be laugh for out. It can be visually impressive to watch, interesting to watch, quirky to watch. So I think it's probably easier in your art form to sort of have that, that there are some more moments where you're making the audience think or you're making the audience interact with the character. You don't have to make them laugh from beginning to end.
Right, yeah. Yeah, which is nice. It's like a nice rest for myself too, because I love doing clown. I love making people laugh, but at the same time, it's nice to have a break of like, okay, this time, for this moment, I'm not even trying to make people laugh. Like,
and is the plan now that you've done this hour and you've got it here, is this the plan now to tour this show? Has the sort of the character that you've built grown in a way that you think there will now be other shows around the same character?
Yeah. I think all of that. I think with doing it this much, I'm learning more about the show and more about this character, which is really cool. And have sort of added and revised a little bit as I'm here. That being said, I think I would definitely want to, like, tour the show, perform it more. And actually, after doing a bunch of times, even it is an adult show. It's at 9:30 and there are definitely, like, adult moments to it. But I think it can also work as a kid's show if I tweak it a little bit. So I'm actually really curious about doing that as well. Like, tweaking.
Yeah, so you could come back with two versions.
Yeah. Or do it for schools or something like that. Yeah, when I come back, is this the future? Are we in the future?
Yeah, let's go into the future. Let's segue into where we're going next.
Because that being said, I am, when I return to New York, or actually I'm moving to Philly, but when I go back to America, I'm actually starting a grad school program in physical theater, kind of modeled after Lecoq.
Yep.
So, yeah, so I'll be training, like, more rigorously with this stuff, but then also would love to, because, I mean, that's during the day mostly, so would love to just, like, have little runs, maybe in New York, maybe in London, throughout the year, and continue to develop it.
Yeah, that sounds really exciting. Well, let's do the listings for the Fringe show. So remind us the name, the venue, the time for the rest of the month.
Great. Yeah, the title of the show is Here Comes Almost. It's at Zoo Playground 1, and it's at 9:30 p.m.
Till the end of the month.
Till the end of the month, yeah.
Awesome. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.